Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And we're going to have such a great discussion today because we're going to be talking about that thing that everybody always goes, ew, and makes faces at and does all those things, because we're going to be talking about sales. And as I say, every single time I interview somebody about sales, if you ain't doing sales, your business is not going to succeed. So stop making faces about it. So joining me today is Jake Dunlap, who's going to talk to us about how to really be successful in sales. Good morning, Jake. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited for the conversation, and hopefully I can change some perceptions and give some very tactical advice today. So I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. I love it. I love it. Well, let me tell people a little bit about you, and then we will do a deep dive. So Jake Dunlap consistently designs repeatable, sustainable sales models and processes that outperform industry standards. As founder and CEO of Scaled Consulting, Jake helps executives around the world accelerate business growth with data-backed sales solutions. Before building Scaled, he held the roles of VP of Sales at NoWait, which was acquired by that little company called Yelp, Head of Sales and Customer Success at Chartbeat, and VP of Sales at Glassdoor, which was acquired by Recruit Holdings for $1.2 billion in 2018. Jake has positioned himself as an expert among multiple channels and spends most days sharing his thoughts with actionable takeaways on LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, and of course, his podcast, The Jake Dunlap Show. So again, Jake, welcome.
All right. I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, I always like to know a little bit about how my guests got to where they are today. So how did, because you've had, you know, kind of a varied background when I was looking at your LinkedIn profile. So tell me a little bit about how you discovered that this is your passion in life.
Yeah. Well, like if I go back to the passion part, I worked full-time in college, mm-hmm. and the jobs that paid the most were sales roles. So I did some telemarketing. Mm-hmm. For those of you out there that might remember, I would call you and try to get you to go to like a timeshare pitch, or I tried to sell MCI.
Oh, you were one of those.
MCI. I tried to get you to switch your long distance back when people had landlines. Mm-hmm. And then I waited tables too. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I was good, right? Like mm-hmm. I had a much less fear of failure or ability to get uncomfortable, I realized, than like mm-hmm. the average person.
Okay.
And when I came out of college, I really wanted to work in sports. And so first job was with the Tampa Bay Rays. They were the mm-hmm. worst team in baseball at the time. but I quickly outperformed all the other kind of new grads. And mm-hmm. And also I was really fortunate. There's a gentleman who was probably 6 or 7 years older. He was doing a career switch. He'd been in banking and then he wanted to get into sports. And, you know, he got me into reading and you know, making suggestions and I really realized very early on that the sales is, there's an art and the craft to it, but it's also mm-hmm. very much a process. And for me, I spent my first 2.5 years of my career in sports. If you go to my LinkedIn profile, you can see that I was fired from a role in sports. I was a top performer.
It's worth looking. Go look, folks.
we're going to keep it clean. But I was very fortunate. You know, I was in Phoenix at the time. Got into technology with a company called Career Builder. Was there for 4 years. I'm a student of the game, and what sales. Okay. Why I got into that as my like profession is sales solves a lot of things for me. It's mm-hmm. curious. Like I love to learn. I don't know if I'm like the absolute most empathetic person. I'm fairly empathetic, but I'm very good at locking in and helping people to unlock problems.
Okay.
And I realized that when you're truly a sales professional or an executive at that level, that's really mm-hmm. the heart of what it looks like. So right. for me, that is how I kind of found my passion. And then what happened is after my second stint as a VP of sales at a rapid growth tech company, I realized like, I'm not a great employee. I'm like amazing at the work, but I wasn't good at like the office politics and mm-hmm. things like that. I was like 30, 31, 32 at the time too. So, mm-hmm. I had some maturing to do, I'm sure. And what I thought is like, well, what's my career going to look like? And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, great. I mean, because if you're a sales leader, it's, you know, every 2 to 4 years, you're going right. to go to a different mm-hmm. company and like, yuck, like that doesn't sound great. Like mm-hmm. I want to build something. So mm-hmm. I love the work. I'm passionate about sales. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this for other people? And so I started my firm Scaled in 2013. Mm-hmm. We're now close to almost 40 people globally. Wow. So we mm-hmm. do, you know, modern sales process mm-hmm. consulting, sales technology optimization, and it's fun. Like I get to talk about like where the revenue generation mm-hmm. is going, the merger between sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think I was able to find something that aligned to check a lot of boxes around mm-hmm. the things that give me energy every day mm-hmm. versus the things that drain me every day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely happy and fortunate with where I am now.
Cool. I love it. You know, and it is one of those things that people are either really good at or not so much. I mean, you can learn how to be better, which is, you know, kind of the thing, but it is Absolutely. Kind of a personality thing. You know, you mentioned, I mean, one of the keys is listening to people. And how many times have we seen the salesman, whether it's in person or online, who never listens? They just say, I want to sell you this. I want to sell you this. I want to sell you this. So listening is one of the greatest skills to have.
And I wasn't very good at it. Like what I would say is this, it's more process than what people think. And mm-hmm. I tell people this all the time. I can build an army of B players. Mm-hmm. Like I can go and build a machine. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and sales actually is more process and right. science than mm-hmm. what people, mm-hmm. because you know, you meet these people who are just really charismatic and that mm-hmm. that's like a very specific persona within mm-hmm. sales. And for anybody kind of about, like thinking through this, and you know, I've learned this throughout my career of just, wow, like sales is like a process. And if mm-hmm. you just literally follow these steps
right.
and you execute them mm-hmm. this way, like the closing a deal is an outcome mm-hmm. of a well-executed process mm-hmm. versus right. like a its own thing. So say and then again, it's all those nuances about sales, and sales is getting ready to go, I think, through a pretty big transformation too here over the next 5 to 10 years. But mm-hmm. All those things are what make me excited about it. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that transformation, you know, and especially let's talk about, you know, we're coming out of maybe hopefully COVID and the pandemic. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, I love the people that say, I can't wait for it to get back to normal. I'm like, really, what world do you live in? You know, it has changed. So talk to us about how January 2020 and January 2022, from a sales perspective, really is so different.
Yeah. I mean, January of 2020, if you would have went to your average sales vice president mm-hmm. or CRO and said, you can close mid six-figure deals, seven-figure deals, even high five-figure deals, mm-hmm. 100% virtually, mm-hmm. they would tell you you're insane.
Right.
They'd be like, no, mm-hmm. it's about the relationship. Mm-hmm. It's about the people.
Face to face, you know, playing golf.
Face to face. It's like, I'll talk a little bit about that too. and so people are like, wow, okay, well, maybe we don't need to be face to face. And mm-hmm. and I think what it is what customers, I'll make this analogy. Think about our consumer behavior and how much it's changed over mm-hmm. the last few years.
Right.
I don't care where you live if you're in the US or other, you know, a lot of your listeners are also not in the US. Mm-hmm. We are used to having things at our fingertips.
Right.
You know, if Amazon Prime, that thing's not showing up at my house in a day or two.
4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to think about how quickly our consumer behavior has changed right. over the last 2, 3, 4 years. Mm-hmm. And what we're used to is we want information at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. We don't want to wait for things, mm-hmm. et cetera. And what COVID did is it accelerated digital, like mm-hmm. hybrid selling, a mix of face-to-face and in-person. So it just accelerated that. And it got all the people that would have been laggards or mm-hmm. late majority mm-hmm. into the majority of people that are mm-hmm. used to now transacting virtually and right. buying big ticket items without mm-hmm. ever meeting an individual. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing to think about is, again, why I bring up the consumer trends is that sales processes historically, people didn't have access to information, meaning mm-hmm. like I needed to talk to a salesperson right. mm-hmm. to get the information. Mm-hmm. I don't anymore. It's called Google, YouTube.
Yeah. Okay. And you're walking around carrying this little thing in your hand. So even if you're in a store, you don't need, you know, you just look it up on your smartphone.
That's right. Yeah. So think Google, YouTube, right? And so the issue is though, sales has not adapted. We still throw up a lot of barriers to qualify people and not realizing that today it used to be. So imagine a world from 5-6 years ago. Most people that we would talk to were coming to us with about the same knowledge, right? Of like, hey, we're interested in something in this space. We're not sure. We're talking to you. And so the salesperson's job is, you know, upfront education and da-da-da. Well, that's not what it's like today. Today, some people are coming to you like they're already at step four. And the problem with
they might know more than you do.
They do know more. And in many, many cases, especially about the competition and the market. And so now as people are coming more prepared, it's how are sales organizations making sure that they're adapting and not doing some of these things like putting up gates, you know, gating a meeting with a salesperson and these types of things, to where, again, and we've got to be able to embrace technology. You know, the, you know, if someone says, hey, can you send me some like, detail, like a demo that I, sure, no problem. Yeah, here's the thing. And then we'll set some time up for Friday as opposed to like, well, let's get on a call and talk through like, yuck,
right. You're going to share share your screen so I can see it.
Let me just do it myself. Let me do it myself. I don't need you. Again, to your point, like you're going to just, again, people today want to self-guide more and more and more. And that trend is not going anywhere. And so I think it's to me now, it's like, what does the value of salespeople become? Well, it becomes project management, right? It becomes like, hey, let me help you through the process. Let's work through this. Let's quarterback the people you need from your side. Let me help you to get you what you need when you need it. We'll show it's project management. It's making sure that people see success with the tool post implementation. One of the main reasons we did a poll and, you know, 27%, I think it's 20, something like that said, you know, one of their biggest issues with salespeople is unrealistic go lives and implementations. And that has to change where we're saying, hey, this is the process. So I really feel like sales is moving to where if you really can't add value and value today is not education on the product, it's industry trends, where things are happening and you can't project manage effectively, you're done.
Right. That is
what sales is moving to. So it's a human in the loop of a process that adds value and the value is not just product related and can help to, can help to project manage and take some time or workload off of the customer. That's what people want from sales in January 2022.
Right. And they want them at unusual points in the process, weird points in the process, you know, because they're doing their own research. And so they might just have one little question here or there. You know, we are used to sales being at the start. And now they might get, you know, like you said, you know, step four, they're almost ready to pull the trigger, but they've got one little question, you know, and so if that sales person, I almost said sales guy, we know they're sales girls, that salesperson, if they are of the mindset of I'm at the very start of the process, then they're going to lose because that person already knows everything about that. They just want that one little question answered.
Yeah. As opposed to what we were trained to do is say, oh yeah, absolutely. Why don't we just hop on a call real quick and we could talk through that? Yuck. No. Right. Like answer the question, Tim, and then I'm happy to set up a call in a week or so once I do some other things. But don't bring this stuff to me that's like, you know, well, the pricing, well, that really depends, Roger. Let's get on another. Stop.
Yeah, it's like no.
Hiding pricing. Again, again, can you imagine that? Like, imagine what the stuff that we put up with in B2B sales that just would not be tolerated in B2C. And that is the truth because everything B2C trends comes to B2B. Perfect example, influencers. We are now entering the age of B2B influencers. I called this four years ago where you're getting people, B2B people, thought leaders are getting paid to post on LinkedIn. Microsoft paid me a stupid, like to post about Microsoft. I'm like, sure. Love Microsoft. That's great. Right. Like, all of those trends will come. And so for all the business owners out there listening to this and executives, it's what are you doing to remove friction today? How can I meet them where they're at in an expert and when I do meet them, it's in an expert capacity. And you know, the team isn't just a bunch of like likable guys, like you said, and guys to play golf, you know, or whatever it is.
Right. Well, and a big part of that was because of COVID, you know, when all of a sudden we could not meet face to face, you know, and obviously depending on what you were selling, you might not be able to travel. You know, you still travel is somewhat restrictive, you know, and so all of the things that we used to do, we couldn't do. And the only thing we could do was basically technology somehow related. So whether you were texting, emailing, you know, Zooming, all of those various things, that was what it all of a sudden shifted to. And listen, it shifted to that overnight. I mean, you know, Friday we were fine. Monday, it was like, oopsie daisy. You know, and I think that was what really threw Zoom. People.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like at first, they all had to learn Zoom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had to learn how to project manage in a mm-hmm. virtual world where someone wasn't at their desk. Mm-hmm. Like, so again, it accelerated buyer behavior mm-hmm. and customer behavior. And as sellers adapted. And like you said, going back to normal, like, why? Because now you think a random stranger who's had 2 hours worth of phone calls with you once you in their mm-hmm. office, yuck. Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't.
You know, and it is interesting to watch consumer behavior. You know, I am baffled by people who buy a car completely online. You know, I'm still the kick the tires and you know, want to drive it a little bit type of person. And I know that, you know, it's not that, you know, it arrives at your door and you can't change your mind, all those various things. But, you know, I bought a pickup. You know, you're from Texas. I bought a pickup earlier this year. And it was really tricky because because of COVID, they didn't want you to take test drives because then they'd have to clean it and sanitize it. You know, you might have sneezed in there or touched something. And so you had to get pretty far down that sales process before they would ever hand you the keys, literally.
Yeah.
And it was interesting going through it because I had done my research. I knew what I wanted to buy. And I basically just needed that test drive. I wanted to see what it was like to sit in that car or that pickup and drive it around the block. They didn't like that. I mean, I went to several dealerships that, you know, no, they wanted to go to the start. Plus, they always wanted to sell to my husband. And it's like, no, it's mine. You know, that's a whole nother sales.
Exactly.
You know? But yeah, I mean, it was, I had done my research. I just wanted that little thing answered, which was the test drive. And some of them just couldn't do it because that wasn't what they normally did.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. People are coming in at all these different entry mm-hmm. points. And that's exactly kind of taking that. That's a perfect analogy of taking mm-hmm. that full circle, which is your process set up to adapt mm-hmm. based on where the person is in their mm-hmm. process as a part of this? You know, like one of the worst things that we did in B2B is we have these inbound SDRs. Mm-hmm. And these are people that their job is literally you sign up for a demo mm-hmm. and they have a 15 or 20 minute call with you to qualify you. Mm-hmm. But they can't answer any questions about the product. Mm-hmm. That will the companies that continue, it's over. Mm-hmm. Like that type of customer, like non-customer centric mm-hmm. approach. Mm-hmm. People used to put up with it because they needed access to the information. Mm-hmm. If not, it's like, look, if you're going to be a pain in the butt to work with, mm-hmm. I know that you and XYZ over here are like fairly similar.
Yeah.
Man, these so guys I'm going are really to them. Easy. I'm just mm-hmm. going to go work with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and they do. I mean, you know, there is nothing anymore that's completely unique. You know, long gone are those days, and you have competitors and, you know, the savvy consumer has their list and they're going down through that list. And, you know, it's whoever makes them happiest and does it the quickest.
Yep, exactly.
So, you know, it is I mentioned in the intro that people think sales, ooh. You know, and we have to do sales. Seriously, folks. You know, if you're not doing sales, then you're not selling. Therefore, your company is not surviving. So going forward, you know, how is, you know, we talked about the process and things, you know, and you work with companies, small startups up to the giant big guys.
Yep.
And the process is the same. I mean, you know, it just gets a little more complicated with the big guys, you know, mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons. But, you know, for the people who are like, I hate sales. You know?
Yeah.
What do you tell them? I mean, aside from get over it.
Well, yeah. Well, then you better not want
to
be.
Yeah. You need to go work for somebody else sales for them.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a misconception, meaning like, mm-hmm. you know, like there's the arc that we have these, you know, like models or things that we've seen mm-hmm. around like car sales, et cetera, and other sales motions. You know, when you get to the heart of it, what really good sales is, we talked a little bit about listening, for example, mm-hmm. It is helping someone to make a decision.
Okay.
And And if you really have that mindset of, you know, look, and if I think that there's a fit, I'm going to try to position this in a way that I think you should work with me. But I think what a lot of people who don't really understand the process behind sales is it really is a process. And this is, you know, for most companies, it's like, how does a process work? You have a first call. It's a discovery. They ask you questions. You tell them stuff. You do a demo, blah, blah, blah. What's the next call? You loop in more people from both sides and then you get more people. What's the next call? You talk about a proof of concept or a proposal. If it's a proof of concept, it's the same. Like the thing that, and that is what most people don't realize is it's just a process. It's a way that we have, I don't know, a process we have developed about how we buy things. And so, you know, it's
you want to kick the tires.
It's if people want a proof of concept, great. Bake that into your process. Don't try to force someone into a 2-year deal if they've never done business with you. You know, it's and that's probably why you're losing deals. So for anyone who's kind of thinking like, you know, that or has a negative perception of sales, what I would tell you is like, sales is not what people, like I said, it's not what people think it is. It's a process. It's really focused on listening. It's focused on, hey, look, it's focused on being an expert. A true expert, not what I call a blind expert. A blind expert is someone who only knows their own product.
Right.
And just is
and
like,
they're reading
the competition
from the brochure.
Sucks. And the competition sucks as opposed to like, for me, a great seller, they know the market. They know what's happening. They can help to kind of tell you pros and cons of everything. And if there's a fit, they'll put together a plan that's going to fit for you. And you know, look, they're going to try to, you know, you know, the job, I tell sellers this who think the job is called information giving. Okay, the job is not called information giving.
No.
Because that you wouldn't make commissions if it was just giving information. And so, but I really truly believe that you, that's what you lead with. You're leading with expertise. You're leading with, look, I know a lot about this one little niche of a niche of a thing of whatever, which it is that I sell or software or, you know, physical good. I know a lot about this. I'm going to tell you what I think the market looks like. Tell me a little bit about what you're, you know, hoping to accomplish and the outcomes that you want to provide. I'll tell you how we would solve that. And we'll see if we can make something work together. I mean, that is the nuance of it. And, you know, look, if you are running a company, chances are you believe that your product can help people.
Right.
You believe that what, or your service can help people. So why wouldn't you want to help people? Like, and that's really what all sales is like, it's helping people at times help themselves because they haven't had a time to kind of take a step back and think about a problem. And so, you know, that's where the questions and listening comes in. And, you know, I can talk all about like a difference between like a structured conversation and free flowing. That's a whole other topic, but, that is where I think if people can get aligned to that mindset of like, look, I believe my product can help people. And when I have conversations with other people, prospects or customers, I am trying to genuinely help them. And if I can, fantastic. If I can't, I will try to get them in the right direction. It really simplifies sales. It's no longer becomes about like pushing them to do. Now, granted, you got to be willing to be good. You've got to be willing to have conversations that are slightly uncomfortable. That's the facts. But for the most part, 90% of it is that helping, and 5 or 10% are those moments where, you know, you do need to ask that tough question and you do need to say, look, we've had 4 conversations now, Deb.
You like, ready or
where are we at in this process? You know, and like, and that's fine. But that comes, that's just like anything. It's just a skill that happens over time. It's like having a tough conversation with an employee. Like it's no different. It's the same emotions, the same level of preparedness that you should come up with. So that's what I tell people who have that kind of that mindset is like, it's just, it's not quite what you think it is.
Right. You know, and I love that you say a good salesperson has to know about their competitors. And because like we've been saying, the consumer has researched them. So more than likely they're going to say, hey, Jake, you know, you're company A, but I know company B does this. And if you, I mean, you can't say, ugh, they're horrible. They're awful. I mean, you shouldn't. You need to be able to say, you're right, they do. Here's the difference. And sometimes there is a difference. Sometimes, you know, every once in a while, it's like, well, yeah, they do it better.
You know? If that's what you need, exactly. Yeah, if that's what, and that goes back to it. Like, if that's what they need and they need X, Y, Z, it's my job to know the market. It's my job to understand what's happening in the space. So again, when someone comes to me and tells me what they need, I can put them in the right option.
Right.
You know, and I, again, I feel like so many people are they're so focused on themselves. They're mm-hmm. focused on the product. And that's, mm-hmm. and that's, I think, where the bad side of sales comes out is, mm-hmm. you know, whenever they're not listening, they're not, you know, even if they are listening, they're definitely not hearing me, you know, mm-hmm. or like it's, and the demo is like, I could copy and paste it and give mm-hmm. the demo, the same yeah. demo to 10, uh-huh. 12 people. It's like, mm-hmm. Why did you ask me any questions mm-hmm. if you were just going to do some cookie cutter demo that has, mm-hmm. that you're not mentioning mm-hmm. anything we talked about mm-hmm. before. And so, yeah, again, I think that's why more and more people are like, you know what? Just let me go do mm-hmm. the demo or pre-record mm-hmm. or get some type of clickable thing that mm-hmm. I can go use on my own, because they're just seeing less and less value from mm-hmm. salespeople.
Right. You know, and we're doing this at all sorts of times of day too. I mean, that's part of it is, you know, it used to be that, especially if you were doing B2B, it was 8 to 5-ish in whatever time zone you were dealing with. Now somebody might be looking at your information Sunday morning at 2 a.m. You had better have it all there, or again, they're going to go to somebody else.
That's right. That's right. And again, well, yeah, the interesting part is, again, and it doesn't have to, there's so many, and so maybe one thing you haven't talked about really is sales technology. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of really cool things that are happening. There's over 2,000 sales technologies that exist. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about, you know, kind of another answer or another important point about your January 2022 mm-hmm. Comment is sales technology is another transformation. Meaning, right. like I said, there are literally 2,000 plus mm-hmm. sales specific, not marketing. Marketing mm-hmm. is like 10,000 now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, and if so, if your team, you're like, well, we have got a CRM mm-hmm. and you're competing against a team, there's teams that are spending $800, $1,000 mm-hmm. per month per mm-hmm. salesperson.
Right.
On technology that mm-hmm. allows them to better interact with people. Mm-hmm. Again, that deal comes in, like, you know, that deal comes in on a Saturday. I can then route it, you know, mm-hmm. to this individual. I can then set up a sequence of activities mm-hmm. where this yep. person gets this email mm-hmm. and then they can get a call. Like, so there's just so much. And then once they finish that sequence, if they didn't book, mm-hmm. they then get returned back to marketing. Mm-hmm. And then once they trip lead score of 75, I then automatically put them back mm-hmm. in this sequence, and a person does customized outreach. Mm-hmm. So there is so much that is possible mm-hmm. right now that people are still doing manually in their sales and their marketing orgs.
They've got it on an Excel spreadsheet, right?
Or they send it via email or they even just in the CRM, it's like, mm-hmm. Here, so-and-so is raving their hand, follow up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can now action those, you know, people. And this is like, I'm just scraping, there's conversational intelligence. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of sectors. There's a lot of data around, you know, being able to do better, like deeper analysis mm-hmm. and insights on your sales process mm-hmm. and what things look like. So mm-hmm. sales technology is the other thing that I feel like any business owner, mm-hmm. you need to know what's possible.
Right.
You mm-hmm. don't have to be a super expert. Although mm-hmm. I would say that most people need to like up their sales mm-hmm. via technology game, or at least mm-hmm. what they know about it. You know, because I see a lot of people in the next 5 to 10 years, again, imagine that if you're an A player and you, because you're good and you know, you're mm-hmm. likable, and I'm a B player, but I'm able to use technology to be mm-hmm. 15% more productive, 20%, yep. I can beat you.
Then you just, yeah. You got the you. A+.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because I know how to leverage the tech to like not mm-hmm. not spend my time doing mm-hmm. dumb stuff. And I can spend all mm-hmm. my time like talking to customers, right. even if the quality of conversation isn't as good. Mm-hmm. So again, I think that would be the other big trend mm-hmm. that I think a lot of people need to wake up to, that sales mm-hmm. technology is doing more and more to not just automate things. And mm-hmm. that's kind of the dark side of technology is mm-hmm. that we did a poll, I think it's 1600 respondents around why outbound isn't working. And almost 50% said generic messaging.
Oh yeah.
And 25% said a focus on quantity over quality. Mm. And so what's happened is we've used a lot of these tools to mm-hmm. do more generic messaging. Mm-hmm. And instead we should be doing less mm-hmm. and custom messaging with some, right. you know, templates and some things mm-hmm. for sure. Oh, yeah. mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like today it's actually not that difficult, mm-hmm. you know, to stand out. There's a lot of different, you know, video. We're big on video mm-hmm. and there's a few different tools that do that. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn, and we can get into kind mm-hmm. of talking about LinkedIn and mm-hmm. sales and B2B process as well. But I want to make sure that people really start to kind of just become aware of mm-hmm. what's happening in sales tech mm-hmm. because it's really important.
Right. You know, and just in a lot of things. I mean, I was looking on your website and you've got an article about add-ons for Zoom that yeah. salespeople should be using. Of course, you know, I was about to say I don't do sales. That's stupid. Of course I do sales. But that fascinated me because, Zoom's fairly new. I mean, it obviously took off in the last 2 years. But other companies went, ooh, people are using this. Therefore, we need to design stuff that goes along with it. And so, yeah, I mean, that was a fascinating article to see, hey, there's all these things that go along with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And Zoom too. I mean, Zoom's added a bunch of features too that mm-hmm. people aren't really using, called they have like a whiteboard function
mm-hmm.
as well. And I think the tool, one of the tools that I think I mentioned in that article is a tool called Mural, which mm-hmm. is like a basically collaboration. There's mm-hmm. one called Miro, ironically. And these are like collaborative spaces mm-hmm. where, think of it like, you used to get in a conference room with sticky notes and, again, mm-hmm. like that's what we're mm-hmm. That's kind of the things that we're missing on a Zoom right. environment. Now, mm-hmm. if we want to talk about the cutting edge and the mm-hmm. new, it's the idea of the metaverse. And the right. metaverse is this, for those of you who are listening, and you probably know that Facebook,
changed its name.
but let me tell you why it's important. And again, talking about sales and revenue and how customers want to interact, and I just have had this kind of like revelation in the last like week where what the metaverse is a place where your people can kind of live mm-hmm. and interact with each other mm-hmm. and it has features like Zoom where you mm-hmm. can like, you get two people together, you pop mm-hmm. open a Zoom, you pull over a virtual kind of whiteboard, mm-hmm. Et cetera. And it mimics as more and more companies are not doing 100% in office, mm-hmm. right? And as many companies have stayed 100% remote, mm-hmm. there is something about that togetherness mm-hmm.
spontaneity.
That I don't think is going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think, we created like Slack or Microsoft Teams to do mm-hmm. quick interactions. Mm-hmm. We have Zoom. What the metaverse allows us to do is combine those things mm-hmm. and create somewhat of mm-hmm. a collaborative
right.
feel mm-hmm. that I think a lot, and that serendipity of the water mm-hmm. cooler of mm-hmm. like, instead of yeah. having 85 meetings, you would just bump into someone mm-hmm. and they tell you something for mm-hmm. 2 minutes and then you didn't have to set up a 30 minute mm-hmm. meeting with them.
Yep.
So the next thing I would think about is for companies, and this is a mix of sales and just think internally for your own companies, mm-hmm. for people listening, if I'm a buyer, maybe I'd want to go to, we're a large, partner of a company called outreach.io, which is a leading sales technology. And maybe I'd want to go to an outreach room mm-hmm. where I could talk to other customers and mm-hmm. people and things mm-hmm. like that. Like, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'd want to go to, do this or mm-hmm. do that. So if you think that digital selling or digital, you think Zoom was the leap, it was not the leap. It was right. it was the opening act. Mm-hmm. The real thing that's coming is the metaverse. And, mm-hmm. and we can talk and you can be like, well, I don't know about that or whatever, mm-hmm. but this is a thing. Like I would encourage you to take a look at Gather Town. Mm-hmm. So gather.town. Mm-hmm. That's what we're, kind of experimenting with right now. But again, it's these like digital communities. Mm-hmm. And, I'll talk a little bit maybe about LinkedIn too, as a part mm-hmm. of this, that more and more and more, salespeople used to do business in their town. Right. I'm in Austin, right? Mm-hmm. And so you build a reputation by, you literally have a Rolodex. Most of mm-hmm. you, or many,
you went to your networking events.
You don't even know what a Rolodex mm-hmm. is. It was this thing that you like was alphabetical.
You had business cards in it. Like,
mm-hmm. It was like a whole thing. well, now, because more things are digitally, all of you now have and so you built a reputation in your mm-hmm. town. Like, oh, John's great for benefits. Mm-hmm. He's a good dude. I've met mm-hmm. him, blah, blah, blah. Now we have a virtual reputation. Mm-hmm. And how many of you have Googled your name recently?
Right.
How many have Googled to understand if, mm-hmm. Hey, like what happens when I Google your name and your LinkedIn mm-hmm. profile pops up and it looks like garbage, mm-hmm. right? And do you think people want to do business with you or your company? Mm-hmm. If I pull it up, I can't right. find anything. You look mm-hmm. like a faceless company. Mm-hmm. And then company number two, this guy's got a refresh yep. page, looks good, talks about some mm-hmm. thought leadership, mm-hmm. industry trends, things like mm-hmm. that. Like, again, who are they going to want to do business mm-hmm. with?
Right.
And so I think we're entering into a new era. And this is especially for all my executives out there. You cannot not participate. Mm-hmm. You're doing your company a massive,
right.
massive. I'm sorry if you don't like social media
too
or whatever
bad.
You're, mm-hmm. People want to hear from people mm-hmm. much mm-hmm. more than companies. And I'll tell a kind of a quick story. My company's almost 8 years old now. almost 9 years old now. And, you know, when I started the company, you know, I would put for the first 6 years, I pushed everything to scaled. And I would, you know, I was like, well, I don't want to be bragging or talking about myself. And then 2018, I'm like, nobody cares. Like right. Nobody's like blog posts. Like how many of you, you know, are like, have like 80 blog post tabs open or things mm-hmm. bookmarked on your phone that you're going to read.
So that you never look never. At. Mm-hmm.
Never. And so, you know, what do people want? They want bite size, mm-hmm. easy to consume, quick to scroll, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And that's what LinkedIn offers, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of you. It's like, it's an opportunity for as an executive, you can mm-hmm. put out a little piece of thought leadership. It doesn't yep. have to be a big hole to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did in 2018. And, you know, we're getting millions, mm-hmm. plural, of dollars in mm-hmm. revenue inbound mm-hmm. from organic posting on LinkedIn.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, we've closed six-figure deals where I mm-hmm. kid you not, the very first call, I'm not even sure what you guys do, but mm-hmm. I think we need your help. Mm-hmm. And that's for me as the CEO posting mm-hmm. on LinkedIn mm-hmm. every day.
Yep.
Takes me like 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And again, I think a lot of CEOs have got to get over it. Mm-hmm. You got to up your digital game. You've got to make sure that you have some type of digital presence. It's required mm-hmm. to do business in the future mm-hmm. in 2022. Yeah. And it was required to do business now, but it mm-hmm. will be 1000% mm-hmm. required. So start getting skilled on mm-hmm. this stuff today.
Oh yeah. And it has to be you. You know, and I say that as a company that provides social media services, you know, yes, we do posting for companies. We don't do posting for people. You know, and I tell people that's because you can sniff it out really fast, you know, and then you lose the whole, you know, the one of the keywords that, you know, is authentic. You know, I know when it is somebody who is paid to do that posting, you know, and I'm fine with it coming from a company, but when it's coming from a person, it's like, nope, you know, and so right there, you've got another knock against you.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It is doable. Like mm-hmm. you can do it.
You have to learn.
The key is mm-hmm. you've got to enter. Like what we do is we interview the person mm-hmm. and we chop it up.
Yes.
So like it's almost impossible to purely mimic, mm-hmm. but it is possible. And that's what a lot of you could start with is mm-hmm. have your whoever interview you. Mm-hmm. And here's the key. Here's what I want you to do. Don't use your company name. Oh mm-hmm. my God. Don't talk about your company. Just talk about trends and thought leadership. Mm-hmm. And that is what people are looking for today mm-hmm. is people are looking at from companies, mm-hmm. stop putting links in all your posts. Mm-hmm. Why don't you actually try to add some value mm-hmm. that's not pushing product? Mm-hmm. Why don't you try to add value? Stop resharing mm-hmm. like, and we're seeing brands and, you know, Gong is one of the best examples. Gong's multiple. It's like 100x top line. And I am convinced that a big reason for that multiple is they've done an amazing job of being a person as a company. Mm-hmm. And if you go to Gong's LinkedIn, gong.io, mm-hmm. you'll see it. They do text only posts with no links. Mm-hmm. They add value.
Right.
They do polls mm-hmm. and they interact like a human because that's what mm-hmm. we want from it, from our interaction. And so for the CEOs out there, you really need to think about, you know, again, even if you need someone to kind of support you a little bit, mm-hmm. LinkedIn is text only post. You don't even need to do a video or anything. Like
it's easy peasy. Yeah, like you said, 15 minutes a day, folks, 15 minutes a day.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's again, and I can talk more about LinkedIn. We do a lot mm-hmm. of LinkedIn sales strategy, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I've got that page opened up so that we can do that. you know, and it is, it's interesting, especially because we're talking about technology, but it is putting that human touch back into it. You know, and that's when somebody wants the human touch, they want the human touch. You know, I want to know that my question is being answered by a person as opposed to an AI. And I mean, there are times where AI questions are great. I mean, you know, a simple, basic question, I'm expecting it to be an AI. I mean, you know, that's just the way of the world anymore. But if it's a more complicated question, I want it to be a person. And maybe it is that they say, hey, you know what, this would be easier if we jumped on a quick Zoom, or, you know, if they send a link to a video or something. You know, it's still getting that little personal touch back in there. Because, you know, we buy products, but we still build those relationships with people.
Exactly. And then that's what people need to realize is that And it's okay. It doesn't mean you're an egomaniac. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the problem that a lot of people have, is they mm-hmm. think that if they're talking about something and not promoting their company, that mm-hmm. they're having an ego about it.
Right.
It's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. And that's what I realized is like, and I'll tell you what makes me feel good about it. And what the other thing is like, I'm not asking for anything.
Right.
I'm not on my post. Mm-hmm. I'm not sitting here saying, look mm-hmm. at me. I'm like, hey, here's three things mm-hmm. that you need to know about driving momentum mm-hmm. in digital sales.
Yep.
Enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like I'm adding value mm-hmm. and it's fun. Mm-hmm.
And you're setting yourself up as that trusted resource, you know, and by not having those links to your company, to wherever, it became non-salesy and you became that trusted person. So then when I need that, whatever,
exactly. It's like,
Jake's the guy I need to go to.
That's exactly right. And that's what happens. And trust me, I was the biggest naysayer of like 99% of things of what I'm saying. I tell this all the time. If like April 2018 heard November 2021 Jake talk, he might punch him. He's like, what do you mean if there's no, like, where's the direct attribution? Mm-hmm. How do you directly mm-hmm. tie the... Mm-hmm. It's called brand. Mm-hmm. And trust me, and all marketing is starting to pivot back mm-hmm. to this concept of like, it's about all, it's all of it. You should be mm-hmm. doing these direct response mm-hmm. things, but also brand amplifies mm-hmm. all of that. Mm-hmm. We spend zero on advertising, but again, are generating millions of dollars mm-hmm. in revenue from LinkedIn
right.
organic posts. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you're that trusted resource. You know, I see an ad. Well, of course you're going to say good things about yourself, right. you know, and, but you know, it's like, ugh, whatever. I mean, you know, when was the last time, you actually bought something based on an ad? I don't know.
Instagram catches me sometimes. Instagram,
yeah.
If it's like late mm-hmm. night, I'm like, oh man, I need those sneakers now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every once in a while, and I do the same thing on Facebook and then I discover I'm going to get my sneakers three months from now because they're coming from somewhere else. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, yeah, it's that little extra, it's the not being the sales guy, being the sales guy, but not being the sales guy.
It just feels, and again, like all you're doing is just sharing advice. Mm-hmm. I had, it's like, and people ask like, well, like what's like the return on investment. I couldn't tell you the return on investment of one post.
Right.
What I do know is the cumulative effect mm-hmm. that, here we are 3 years later mm-hmm. and, I've established a digital mm-hmm. reputation that, people know to come to me for mm-hmm. sales questions. Like the mm-hmm. amount of DMs I get on a daily mm-hmm. basis about, hey, Jake, I saw this post. Can you tell me mm-hmm. this? And it's like, and then over time it builds. And right. I think so many people, it's like, we want instant gratification. Mm-hmm. Well, reputations aren't built in 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's part of it too, is the CEOs don't see an initial payoff or like mm-hmm. I'm busy. And I just right. realized like, this is my making sure I have a digital presence mm-hmm. and reputation is a part of a CEO's job. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so for all my business owners out there, again, and maybe for you, maybe you sell candles or maybe mm-hmm. you sell organic pet food or something. Right. Then guess what? Everything I'm saying, mm-hmm. you need to be on Instagram doing mm-hmm. everything I'm telling you right now.
Yep.
You need to be on Facebook doing mm-hmm. everything I'm telling you mm-hmm. right now. Either way, you need to show up where your customers are, mm-hmm. right? We do a B2B sales consulting firm. Mm-hmm. So lots of our buyers are on LinkedIn. So it mm-hmm. makes sense. But I got to tell you right now, if for some reason something happened, mm-hmm. I've got no sacred cows here. I would immediately go and I would all of a sudden start to do even more stuff on Instagram or mm-hmm. YouTube or wherever I thought my right. customers lived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is... It's a challenge when somebody's saying, I only have X number of hours in the day. But when you really look at it and go, okay, what is the best use of my time? That's what it comes down to. And that's one thing that COVID made us do. We weren't going and meeting and doing all of those things. So it's like, ooh, I'm just sitting in front of my computer. What am I going to do?
And that's it. But again, you're not going to see the ROI. That's mm-hmm. where brand is sneaky.
Right.
is It doesn't happen mm-hmm. immediately. It's mm-hmm. like, why do executives start to go and want to do speaking events? Why mm-hmm. do you want to do a speaking? Like everyone asks yourself, mm-hmm. I'd go speak at a networking event. Mm-hmm. I'd go speak at an industry. What do you think is happening on LinkedIn every day? Right. If you curate your network mm-hmm. and your connections,
yeah.
LinkedIn is a networking speaking mm-hmm. opportunity mm-hmm. for every single human every single day.
And Twitter, you're not on a plane. You're not. I tell people I don't have to put shoes on.
I do not have shoes on right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, who wears shoes anymore? You know, one of the things that, and you know, from my marketing background, I am not a fan of paid influencers along the lines of celebrities. You know, and to me, part of that is because they're losing that authenticity. You know, I always joke that, you know, I'm not going to go buy a Lincoln simply because Matthew McConaughey is selling it, because more than likely he doesn't drive a Lincoln. I mean, you know, he was paid to drive it for, the whatever to do that. So that's where influencers are tricky. I mean, you know, I've had people who have said, hey, you know, we want to pay X celebrity. You know, you mentioned baseball early on. I mean, I'm in Atlanta. So now, of course, the Braves are high ticket people. You know, and of course, I'm a big college sports fan. So now we've got all of this name,
Georgia,
image, likeness stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, just because the college quarterback says you should buy this, maybe not.
Well, the key is now, I mean, like the key to good influencer marketing is it's not a promo. It's like it's in the, you know, like what you're seeing, like the influencers that are doing really well are in this process is like they're using the product in a demo.
It is the 16-year-old doing makeup, which baffles me.
Exactly. And that's it too. It's like, and you know, it's yeah. So there are ways to do it that are, you know, but again, it's the authentic, it's like the in the flow versus like it's a separate static commercial. You know what I mean? I think those are, that's what you're kind of seeing more and more of.
You know, and one of the things, I mean, that I want to talk to you about is a salesperson, hiring a salesperson. You know, I talk a lot in my program about, you know, small business owners think we have to do it all. You know, it's some fault if we're not able to do it all. But, you know, we're smart enough to go hire a CPA. We're smart enough to hire somebody to, you know, a tax attorney. I would not try and do open heart surgery on myself. I mean, you know, but I think a lot of people think I shouldn't hire a sales person, you know, at whatever level you want to call them. So when should businesses start thinking about, hey, you know, maybe I need to have a salesperson?
I mean, I think it's a really tough question to answer, like across like everything. Look, for me, I look at you want to start to hire when you feel like you've got something that's quasi repeatable.
Okay.
And so if like you as an owner or you as a, you know, whatever your role, if you feel like, okay, like how do we actually set meetings? Well, typically we do it like this and this. Okay. Well, all right. So we've got a somewhat repeatable process to set new meetings. Maybe what we need first is a sales development rep to go set more meetings and she or he can execute this process. Then you go look at your sales process. It's like, okay, well, I usually have this meeting and I've got some questions I've got written down and here's how we talk about it, how we do this. So it's like, to me, it's like, if you are at the point where you can successfully, and again, we obviously do a lot of this work, right? it depends on like how early you are, but you know, companies come to us all the time and it's like what we just do is we're pulling all the stuff out of everyone's head and just putting it in place. Like, you know, you already have a process probably, you just don't even know it.
Right.
You're just in it. You're just doing it. And so I think it's, you know, once you start to realize like there's something repeatable, whether it's about how you're generating meetings or how you're closing deals, I think you can start to think about, and that maybe be a just, I want to call out a quick delineation. You don't have to hire a salesperson who can do everything. Sometimes the right move is hiring someone first who can help to generate more meetings and you take the deals. And then once you become bandwidth constrained, then you hire a salesperson.
Okay.
As opposed to hiring the salesperson who's supposed to find their own meetings, close their own deals, manage accounts. More and more sales is becoming, you know, parts of the role are siloed or they're still all intertwined, but they're, you know, they're basically like separate. So just think about that. Like, do I have a process for this? And do I feel like we could document this and get this in a place where someone else could do it? And that's step one.
Right. If what happens if you bring somebody in too early?
Probably the biggest mistake I see companies make is they bring people in and then the people aren't successful. And I'll talk about interviewing salespeople too, because I think that'll be helpful. And then the person fails and they're like, yeah, Brad sucked.
Right.
And you know, I always use the engineering analysis because it's the easiest. And what I say is this, I said, look, would you hire an engineer? So if you have a product, let's say you have a software or something, mm-hmm. and you'd say, hey, so, oh yeah, you've written code before. Cool. All right. Here's no training, no anything mm-hmm. on how we
go, what go our, do
just go, mm-hmm. just go code some stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's what we do with salespeople. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, you've done sales, but you know what to do. Mm-hmm. No, you would never do that. Any other job. Mm-hmm. It's the only job that we think that people, again, going back to, you know, something you were talking about at the beginning, it is not black magic. Mm-hmm. They're failing because you as a company mm-hmm. aren't setting them up for success. Mm-hmm. And to think that you're just going to hire someone who's mm-hmm. magically going to make your business bigger is mm-hmm. delusional. Mm-hmm. And so again, you need to build a process, document right. what you're doing, and mm-hmm. then work with that. Then that person can mm-hmm. execute your process mm-hmm. and optimize it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I would say, do not hire a salesperson if you don't have the bandwidth to work to get them up to speed or to okay. be successful, or mm-hmm. you don't have already a kind mm-hmm. of process that you can teach mm-hmm. them, you know, and you don't have to like hold their hand 24/7. I'm not mm-hmm. saying that. That is the biggest mistake, mm-hmm. is they go through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, however many salespeople, and it's their fault that people keep failing. Mm-hmm. And they keep looking for this, you know, the Hail Mary salesperson, like, you know, like, well, we'll give this one a shot and this mm-hmm. one a shot. And like, and then you wonder why they keep failing, is because mm-hmm. you're not setting them up for success properly.
Right.
Your CRM sucks. Your reporting sucks. They don't have any data. Like, you're not mm-hmm. giving them any resources. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, salespeople are supposed to fit. No, that's BS. Like, the salespeople mm-hmm. are not supposed to just like magically no. figure out. Mm-hmm. You couldn't figure it out in 15 years, mm-hmm. Jim. And like, mm-hmm. how do you expect this salesperson to figure it out?
So, who's not been ingrained with everything.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's a big mistake. The other thing is interviewing. Meaning, we run a very tight interview process that mm-hmm. is very non-charisma, factual-based. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, again, it goes back to this conception of sales. Well, look at Jake. Mm-hmm. Jake's charismatic. People like him. Oh, he's going to be great.
He's going to be fabulous. He knows everybody.
That's right. That's not how we interview. And so we have a screening interview, which is, you know, there's a set of questions. We run a set process for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the second interview is what we call a skills interview. So for each role, what we do is we identify a core set of skills. We rate the importance of those skills for the job on a scale of 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. And we label each skill red, yellow, or green. Red mm-hmm. is things that I can't coach. Integrity. I can't coach you mm-hmm. to be, right. have more integrity. Mm-hmm. Yellow are things that are difficult to change, but mm-hmm. can with coaching. Mm-hmm. And green are things like that are actually easy to coach to.
Right.
So, you know, what are the skills that we need for this role, mm-hmm. that we need for this person? How important are those skills? And then how easy is it going to be for me to coach them? Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the first, and that's like the first big interview. So then we see like, okay, what are this person's skills? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So they're a 3 in a lot of the reds and a 5 in a lot of the greens. Like, mm-hmm. you know, can I deal with that? Mm-hmm. And that's another part. So we'll give different people different skills mm-hmm. to interview. So, okay, Jake, you're going to work on these 3, mm-hmm. you know, Matt, you'll take these 3, you know, Brianna, you'll take these 5. Mm-hmm. So you want to get rid of the like, what do you think interview? We call it the what do mm-hmm. you think interview process, mm-hmm. which is everyone asks the question, the interviewee, the exact same questions. It's mm-hmm. stupid. And then everyone gets in a room and says, what do you think? And looks at the most important person in the room.
Right.
That's not how you should interview people mm-hmm. in 2021.
For and anything. The
mm-hmm. for any role. And then the last interview is what we call the experience interview. And this is from a series of books by Jeff Smart and his dad called Who. There's 3 of them. There's Who. There's Top Grading was the first book. And then his son wrote a book called Who and a book called Power Score. Mm. And the experience interview is very simple. We go mm-hmm. way back in time. I don't mm-hmm. care if you're 45 years old, we're going to go back to your first job out of college. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go 5 questions. What were mm-hmm. you hired to do? What was the high point? Mm-hmm. What was the, like, what are the 2 high points? What was the low point? Mm-hmm. When I talk to your boss, how do you spell their name? Mm-hmm. Bum, 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 bum. How are they going to rate you on a scale of 1 to 10 mm-hmm. and why? Why did you leave? Mm-hmm. And then we go to the next job. What were you hired to do? Mm-hmm. What were the 2 high points? What was the low point? Mm-hmm. When, listen to the language. When I talk to your boss.
Yes, how, not if.
Mm-hmm. How do I spell their name? Mm-hmm. Okay, John Smith. Can you spell Smith for me? Mm-hmm. S-M-I-T-H. Mm-hmm. How will they rate you on a scale of mm-hmm. 1 to 10 and why? And then you see the patterns of behavior. Mm-hmm. I see the patterns. They just, mm-hmm. after about job 3, mm-hmm. the patterns start to come out. Mm-hmm. This guy's a pain in the butt. Mm-hmm. All of his bosses rated him a 6 or 7. He can't give any of them as a reference. Mm-hmm. You know, like you start to see these patterns or, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? She keeps getting these roles in this. I hear her talk about like the things that she views as success. Mm-hmm. Man, those aren't things that we have at our company.
Right.
Her low points are always mm-hmm. the things that we do are all culture. Mm-hmm. So if you want to, you know, if you want to get better at finding the right person, mm-hmm. you've got to have a really tight interview process. And those three books, mm-hmm. you know, we've modeled a lot off of that process. It's a really cool. solid process.
I love that. Well, oh my gosh, Jake, we're at the top of the hour almost, and we haven't even touched on many things. One of which is LinkedIn. I do a series in April where all of our April programs are only about LinkedIn. And so I'd love to bring you back then and really talk about how to do that. And so we'll set that up afterwards. But in the meantime, you know, for people who are going, okay, I figured out I need to do this, but I'm lost. I don't know. How do people reach you? And what are the services that your company provides?
Yeah. So definitely LinkedIn's a great place, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. to find me. You can go to scaled with a K, SKALED.com. And learn a little bit more, but always just DM me. You know, I'm happy. Like I said, it's about giving, right? Mm-hmm. It's about helping people, and if it works out, it works out. So feel free to mm-hmm. DM me on LinkedIn. Where we're really focused is kind of two areas. One is sales strategy. So mm-hmm. If your company's trying to optimize the way they're generating leads and find mm-hmm. you know more different ways or more effective ways to generate mm-hmm. leads, or your sales process or methodology, mm-hmm. maybe you have a process or methodology you're trying to optimize. Mm-hmm. That's we do a lot of that work. Early stage companies, we also do a lot of like interim work, like interim sales leader, interim mm-hmm. operations, interim enablement. And then we have a whole sales technology practice mm-hmm. as well too. So if some of the things around technology around, I don't even know anything what Jake was talking about. Like that sounded like, you know, Greek to me. Mm-hmm. So we help companies to optimize their tech stack and, mm-hmm. Not just optimize it, but help to, mm-hmm. make sure that they're getting the most out of maybe even what they already have. Mm-hmm. And maybe they need and help them to kind of source new tools if they mm-hmm. need new tools as well. So we do a lot of sales technology work because we feel like, again, a modern sales engine is a process that aligns to an ideal customer experience underpinned by technology to make everyone's mm-hmm. life easier as a customer and an internal employee. So that's the core. That's the business.
Cool. And then you've got a podcast.
We've got a podcast, the Jake Dunlap Show. Make sure to check that out. We interview individuals and we really talk a lot about their life stories. And we find mm-hmm. all these really cool moments from, when people were early, growing up, something mm-hmm. their dad told them, or, the uncle who is an entrepreneur, they mm-hmm. sat alone at lunch every day in high school. And these really successful, famous people running publicly traded, mm-hmm. Companies talking about, the things that we all go through. And I think there's a lot of learnings for people and just the stories that they have.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, oh my gosh, like I said, we'll have you on again, because I think we definitely need to talk about LinkedIn, because that is the one place where people are just like, I don't know how to use it. Sure. And I work with people all the time who are telling me, now what? And in fact, somebody just today said, okay, how do I use it to even connect with people at that deeper, more than just, connect level? And, and then of course, we all have the sleazy salespeople that, it's automated. I love it. I always respond with something wonkadoodle just to see at what happens. And so, I've got a little template of things that I email back to them or, message to them, and basically to see if they're human. And then I tell them, hey, great. I'm happy to connect with you because clearly you are a human, but the second you try and sell me something, you're gone. About half the time I get the automated template back and I'm like,
that's right.
Gone.
Well, have you talked about synergies yet?
Yes. And my favorites are the ones where I tell them, maybe you should look at my profile because I'm not going to hire you to do my social media. So we'll have you back on to talk about LinkedIn. But between now and then, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
Yeah. I think just think about what I said about at the very end here about, aligning to the customer experience. Mm-hmm. And I think too often we really are thinking about our own world, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I want everyone here to think about, when's the last time you looked at your customer experience? What is it actually like to do mm-hmm. business with us? And started to look for ways to make that easier mm-hmm. and more value add. Mm-hmm.
Great. I love that, because that is where we lose people. And it's a pretty simple process to figure out. Well, I am Deb Creer. I've been having a great conversation with Jake Dunlap of Scaled with a K Consulting. Can't wait to chat again. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.